Okay, we are starting. Well, let's just go back a little bit. Okay, I made a sheet to summarize what we did yesterday. I thought it would be a good way to start. We have the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim, Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim, about whether lulavim and alim are part of the isur for the nazir to eat, the grape leaves and the shoots, or Chachamim who say they're not part of it. And then the question is, what's the basis for their machloket? And here the Gemara kicks in. The Gemara says, oh, the basis for the machloket, remember this, because we're going to come back to this later, where the Gemara is going to question, do we really know the Chachamim hold this in general? Because they're going to say it relates to a general machloket between them. So we're going to say the basis for the halacha, the what it's based on, is that Rabbi Elazar is doresh riboy umiut from the psukim, and Chachamim are doreshim prat uklal uprat. Okay, from here we're going to have a whole general discussion about prat uklal uprat, and riboy miut. Okay, so we learned that. What's the riboy miut? We have three things, okay? Miyayin v'shechar yazir, and it says mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin, and then micharzanim v'ad zag. So now we're going to say that the first yayin v'shechar yazir is the prat, then it goes and generalizes, that's the klal, mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin, okay, I'm flipping to chachamim, we do the prat uklal uprat, and then we get to micharzanim v'ad zag, which is a prat. So Chachamim are going to say that's prat uklal uprat, and we'll get to how we darshan prat uklal uprat in 1 second. And Rabbi Elazar says no, it's miut v'riboy. Okay, it starts out with a miut, it ends with a riboy, and chartzanim ba'adzak he leaves empty. Right, he doesn't say anything about it. We're going to get to later maybe a possible explanation for it. So basically he just doesn't darshan that. There's going to be a discussion why doesn't he darshan that. Okay, so now, if you have a mi'ut and a riboy, what does it mean? A mi'ut and a riboy means that we learn something specific, then we generalize. So we're basically going to apply things across the board. However, we're going to take out something very minor. So what's the minor thing they're going to take out? If we're saying Rabbi Elazar, so it's not the shoots and the leaves, what is it? It's the branches, right? The thicker branches, that's what he's going to exclude. Okay, because In the end, even though he's going to say we're including a lot more things, he still has to at some point say there's a mi'ut for a reason. The mi'ut is to exclude something. Chachamim are going to say, no, we have a prat klal uprat, which in the end tells us, well, we have a prat, then we have a klal. Now, eventually, the Gemara is going to ask, in case you were wondering, if it was trying to be mema'ed like the prat, well, then why didn't it just have a prat and a klal? In other words, why do you have to have a prat, a klal, and then a prat after? Like, why the order? Why does it work like that? Anyway, we'll get to that later. So the prat is going to be, okay, we can look on the chart, maha prat meforash pri upsolet pri, af kol pri upsolet pri. Okay, and we're going to get into this line in a second. So just like the prat is a pri, okay, because what's the prat? Mechartzanim v'adzag, that's the fruit itself. So since it's a pri, and it's the psolet of the pri, okay, it's bad, like the pratim also include, now here it's weird because the pratim, the psola pri they're going to say is the chometz, which was mentioned earlier. But since you have pratim which discuss the pri itself and the psolet of the pri, the chometz, so therefore, kol pri upsola pri is going to be included. Now the Gemara immediately is going to, and that's where we're going to start today, what is this, the pri, what's the psola pri? And then when it says af kol pri, what's it coming to include even more than just the pri? In other words, the pri is anavim. What could kol pri be? If kol pri, it's anavim. I mean, we're talking anavim. We're not talking about grapefruits and other pri, right? We're just talking. So what could it mean? So that's what the Gemara is going to start with. So we're on lama dalet on the bed, right where the lines get wide. Amar mar. Maha prat meforash pri upsole pri. Av kol pri upsole pri. So pri, and here I made a little chart for you. Pri is inve, anavim. Psole pri maihi. Chometz, okay, vinegar, it goes bad. That's the psolet. Okay, psolet is always waste. Av kol pri maihi. So now what's the kol pri that the pri is including? Guharki. Okay, what's guharki? Unripe produce. Unripe grapes.
The word or grapes?
What? Does grapes. Well, here it means grapes. Ah, right. Does the word guharki? It's a good question. The truth is, I said translated as bosar. Bosar is the word you use for grapes that are unripe. So I assume it's just a word for grapes. Avkol dipsolet primaihi. What's that? Amar Rav Kahana, latuye inve dichrin. Okay, inve dichrin are worm infested grapes. Okay, kind of gross to think about that someone's actually eating worm-infested grapes, but I guess maybe someone was. Okay, now we're going to go back to the two, we're going to go back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There's Rabbi Elazar, who we discussed here, who includes the shoots and leaves. And then there's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not the same person, who told us what, do you remember? That you're only chayav if you eat shnei chartzanim bizag. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to say, oh, sorry, I skipped one line. I missed one thing. There's one more drasha, which is not connected to anything we've said. It just happens to be another drasha. Ve'ad zag, since the pasuk says ve'ad zag, why does it say, it could have just said chartzanim bizag. Right? That would have been a much more, what do we learn from ve'ad zag? Amar Ravina, latuye deben habenayim. Okay, that's what I talked about yesterday. That if you just ate the fleshy part inside, without the seeds and without the peel, then you'd be chayav from ba'ad, because it goes from one until the other, which includes what's in between. Okay. Amar. Now we're going to go back. The Gemara is just going to quote this whole drasha. Okay? And then we're going to ask about it. Amar. They're going to quote what we learned already. So I'll just read it. Maybe we'll explain it also just to review, but I think it's pretty clear at this point. Ima haprat meforash pri gamor, af kol pri gamor. Okay, remember the Braita asked at a certain point, it said, why don't we just say that if the prat is a pri gamor, like a ripe fruit, af kol pri gamor, then maybe we should just include all ripe fruits and exclude the unripe fruits, which right now we just said we included the unripe fruits. Amarta imke ma kiniach hakatub b'mashma o shelo amru. In other words, if so, then the pasuk, that would basically, if we're talking about ripe fruits, that's all already included in the pasuk, because it says, Anavim lachim v'yibeshim haktive. The pasuk says it. Yayin v'chometz haktive. Ha'en alecha ladun kelashon acharon, ela kelashon rishon. Therefore, this isn't the way to go. We must be excluding the pri and the psolet pri. U'me'achar she'sofenu l'rabot kol davar. And if we're just going to include everything then, well, ma tamulomar mechartzanim v'adzag. So then what's it coming to exclude? Lomar lecha, kol makom shata motse prat uklal, iyata rasha lemoshcho lidono ke'en haprat, ela naase, klal mosif ala prat, ad shifro lecha katuv kederach shaperet lecha benazir, mechartzanim ba'ad zag. Okay, so now they're saying that the whole thing here was to come to teach you, and they're basically saying that this built the model for everything. That if you didn't know this, if you didn't have this here explaining it, you would have thought the prat uklal uprat comes to say that the prat is just mosif ala klal. Okay? That anytime you see a prat, you see the klal, then the klal just comes to say everything is included. And then they're going to say no, but until, if it comes as if you just have a prat uklal, then the klal is mosif ala prat. But if a prat follows it, then it's going to tell you that it's only things that are like the prat. And that's how they got to the conclusion that they got to. Right? Just like, right, the way it does it here, that's the way we're going to do it everywhere. So now, they're going to say, okay, mechartzanim va'ad zag. Oh, sorry. Ula Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did kamokim lahai mechartzanim va'ad zag lomar she'en chayav ad she'ochal shnei chartzanim v'zag parta menale. What's he going to do? He doesn't have a prat. Right, according to the prat uklal uprat argument that we just quoted, so you have to say that mechartzanim v'adzag is a prat. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah uses mechartzanim v'adzag to learn his halacha that you have to eat actually shnei chartzanim v'zag to be chayav. And therefore, how can he dorish this prat uklal uprat? There is no other prat that appears after the klal. According to him, then, he would have a different halacha. So the first answer is the obvious one, which is Savralak Rabbi Elazar, Diderish Miyat Viriba. In other words, that's why I specifically did the chart like this, where it's empty here, right? So you can see the Chartanim Vadzag is empty according to Rabbi Elazar. So very simply, you say, oh, he holds like Rabbi Elazar. In which case, Chartanim Vadzag is open, right? We've had this word before, Mufne. Mm-hmm. It's available. Okay? It's available for a drasha. And therefore, that's great. But not everybody agrees, or they want to. It's not not everyone agrees. In this case, it's an ibayt ema, which means we also, it's always a deef if you can. It's better to explain it according to all the opinions. So if we can explain him according to Chachamim, also all the better. So now we're going to say Ibait Ema Kirabana. Maybe they do hold like Chachamim. Deisa Kadata Kada Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Lichtevei Rachmana Lahai Mechartzanim Va'adzag Gabei Parte. Lamai Hilchata Katvei Batar Klal. Shmamina Lemidaine Beklal Uprat. Very logical. What does it say? If really all Mechartzanim Va'adzag was coming to do, according to Rabbi Elazar, is to exclude, is to basically say you're only Chayav if it's two Chartzanim and a Zag, then where should it have appeared in the Pasuk? Together with all the other Pratim, Miyayim V'Shechar Yazir, and Michomets, and Anavim Lechim B'Yavishim, it should have appeared in that earlier Pasuk where it was detailing everything. So while it's true that you can't darshan two things from one word or one phrase, you can darshan the words themselves, and then you can darshan the location that the words were put, if the location, if you can kind of show that the location isn't logical. So basically, he's darshaning it two ways. He's saying the fact that it says mechartzanim v'adzag comes to two chartzanim v'adzag, the fact that it was placed in the pasuk, not with all the pratim, but after the klal, can teach you prat uklal uprat. Okay? Ve'ema kule lahachi hu da'ata. And as you could say that, right. Do you have to assume that this is what it's coming for? In other words, can't you just say that kule, the whole thing, is just coming for the prat? In other words, it's mentioning it as a prat, the same way we said by Chachamim. And therefore, can't you just say then that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is an unnecessary drasha? And why can you darshan both things, really? In theory, you should just... They were looking at it from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I learned two chartzanim and izak. Oh, and then the placement tells us this. But why can't you just say it's all about the placement? And the placement is telling us it's prat ukla uprat. And therefore, we have no room for Rabbi Elazar. Like, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's drasha doesn't need to be learned. So, like, how does he really learn it? So now they're going to say, im ken lichtov o shnei chartzanim, o shnei zagim, o chartzam v'zag. Lamai hilchata katav rachmanim echartzanim va'ad zag, shmamina lemidrash bay klal uprat. Now this is something very smart. What do they say? The lashon of mechartzanim va'ad zag is strange. Now it's true, somebody pointed out yesterday, right, that most grapes have two seeds and a, you know, and one skin, obviously. But they're saying, in general, if you want to be chayav on a seed, you're chayav on one seed, you're not, right, and if you want to say you're chayav on one seed, so it should have said, mechartzan v'adzag. Or it should have said, you know, if you want to say two, so two, put them both in rabim. In other words, it's weird that one is yachid and one is rabim. So yes, while you can come up with explanations, because maybe that's the way a typical grape is, but still they're saying the fact that the lashon is one yachid and one rabim, that comes to teach you that it's specifically bedafka, two chartzanim and one zag, which would basically support Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position. Okay, that's how he would say. That gives him the leverage to basically darshan both. Okay. Now, do you understand what happened here? When they went in the direction of, we're darshaning mechartzanim va'adzag, as two chartzanim and a zag, and then the question is, well, what do you do with the prat uklal uprat? So then you can say, well, well, it's also the location of it. But if you come from the reverse and say that mechartzanim va'adzag comes to be the prat of the prat uklal uprat, then you have to say, well, then why are we darshaning something additional? And for that, they had to answer that the lashon of the yachid and rabim together, the singular and the plural, doesn't seem to, yeah, that seems to beg a drasha. Okay, for Rabbi Elazar, now we're going back to Rabbi Elazar. Didarish mi'et viriba. Okay, so now the assumption is, here he's darshaning mi'ut viriboy, okay? They don't actually ever say this explicitly, but you have to wonder, what does Rabbi Elazar do with mechartzanim v'adzag? And you could, in theory, say he must hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? That you use mechartzanim v'adzag for something else. But the question is, where does he learn prat uklal uprat from? Because if you notice, the Braita said, this is the binyanav. This teaches you about all the prat uklal uprat. So the assumption here is that Rabbi Elazar also darshans prat uklal uprat. He just didn't use it here. He didn't think this was a prat uklal uprat. So now we want to know prat uklal uprat minale. Where does he learn it from? So Amar Rabbi Avahu, Nafkale mehaikra. Bechi yitain ish areeu chamor oshor oseh. Okay, now we're going to have, okay, the whole pasuk is, ki yitain ish areeu chamor oshor oseh, bechol behema lishmor. Okay, there's two nuskhaot of how you read this. Okay? One is, okay, this is basically dinei shmira. So it starts off, ki yitain ish areeu chamor oshor oseh, that's going to be a prat, because it's very specific, what you're giving people to watch. Then it says, v'chol behema, which seems to include all other animals, right? Not just the ones we listed. So that's a klal. Lishmor, chazar uperet. Pra tu klal uprat. Iatadan, ela ka'en haprat. Okay? Now it doesn't tell you here what makes this prat unique. In other words, what's unique about the animals. So, approach.
It's prat, klal, prat. Where's the last prat?
The last prat is lishmor. Okay? So you'll hear in a second. It's a little difficult. That's why there's two different nuschaot. Okay, I'll explain in a minute. So lishmor is a prat, they're going to say. And what does it teach you? That you're only responsible for, right, this is dinei shomrim. You're responsible if you're watching someone else's stuff. In what case? In the case where it's something that people generally watch. Okay, if it's like a lion or a bear, is not an animal that people watch. So if for some reason you happen to own a lion and you gave it to someone to watch, you wouldn't be responsible. Okay? That's one way of reading it. So the lishmor is shmira, which is only animals that are oile shmira. The other approach is to dafka read this differently. Okay. The beginning starts the same. Ki yitain ish areeu chamor oshor oseh, prat. V'chol is the klal. Because v'chol sounds like an everything. And then behema lishmor is the prat. And then it comes to teach you, so this one is that you're chayav only in behemot, right, I have to remember now what it said, one second. Right, that it's a davar ha-mitaltel v'gufo mamon. It's something that's mitaltel as opposed to karka. It's not karka, and it's not slaves. If you gave them to watch, they're not considered mitaltel, right, movable product property. And gufo mamon, it has to have monetary value, like an animal does, as opposed to what? A shtar. If you give someone a document to watch, they wouldn't be responsible, according to this. Because it has to be like a behemoth that it actually has inherent value. Like we talked about the money the other day. Coins have no inherent value. So it could be if you give someone coins to watch or money, maybe it would also be the same. It's the way we call shtarot. It also might not be responsible. Okay. So those are two ways of reading that drasha, obviously coming to very different conclusions as to what's excluded. Rava Amar, so now we're going to have a bunch of different examples of where you could learn it from. Rava Amar Nafkale Mehaikra. Here's another klal upratu klal. It's going to come up with korbanot. V'im min. Okay, let's just read the whole pasuk for a minute. Okay, it's by Yikra Aleph pasuk Yud. V'im min atzon. If you have the Torah, or it's number bet. Im min atzon korbano min hakvasim o min haizim lo la zachar tamim yakrivenu. Okay, so starts out. Okay, v'im min is prat from. Comes to say, right, it's only from certain things. This is saying, like, v'kol is everything, min is only some things. But hatzon is a klal, right? It's a general category of tzon. And then it says, after, kvasim v'izim, hazar v'peret, so prat uklal uprat, iatadan ela ke'en haprat. Okay? And then, what are they going to exclude here? Okay, they're going to say that any animal that had like an avera done to it, okay, then like if you have an animal that you're choresh b'shur, like you do, Rashi quotes this example, you do plowing on Shabbat with the shur. So if you use it for Isser, then you're not allowed to bring it as a korban. Okay, that's what they learn from here. How exactly they get it from kvasim b'izim, I don't know 100% where they get it from Kvasim v'Izim, how that comes to Dafka. That's the issue. Right. again, it's right. The text doesn't say it. I'm sure there's different opinions. Actually, some say like if an animal was used to have sex with a person, then that couldn't be used as an animal, and that's what they're learning from here. Some say. They don't really explain it too well how that's the particular issue they get, but that's what they try to figure out what possible thing could we be mema'e. That must be the thing we could be mema'e. Okay. So that's what Rava says. So the first one was Rabbi Avahu. Now we have Rava. Now we have Amar le Rabbi Yehuda mi diskarta le Rava. Rabbi Yehuda now says to Rava. Now it's not like he's disagreeing and saying, I don't agree with your prat or klal or prat. It's just, I can suggest another one. He's adding another one. But Leilach min hadin kra. We can learn it from here. So again, it's going to be similar to a korbanot pasuk. It's in Vayikrov Aleph pasuk ben. Okay, here, let's read the whole pasuk. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amartalehem. Adam ki akriv mikem korban lashem, min abema, min abakar, min atzon, takrivu et korbanchem. So min is a prat, habehema is a klal, and bakar v'tzon, chazar v'peret. Prat uklal uprat, yet adan ela ke'en haprat. Okay, and here what they want to say is that, what does it say? Right, it says min, then it says behema. Now behema in general, and we have this whole thing with the koi, right? There's behemot and there's chayot. But often behema includes chaya. Like especially when you're talking generally about korbanot, you could bring it from behemot, chayot. But then they say, since it says min abakar v'atzon, which are behemot, they say it specifically means just behemot and not chayot. Okay? So now we're going to have a disagreement about this specific one. Okay, so Amrale, min hai leka lamashma mina, you can't exactly say that. Di'ime hatam, hava mina, habehema, chaya bichlal behema. Right, so they're saying this doesn't really teach you anything because behema in general is used to include chaya, and therefore, even though it says bakar and sown after, it still doesn't really mean anything because habehema still can include everything, and therefore, right? It doesn't. Second. Oh, sorry. No, I read it wrong. Okay, 1 second. Right. Sorry. He's saying the opposite. You're right. It's read as a question. It's read as a question. He's saying right. You would have thought the chaya is included in behema. What do you mean? The Torah specifies behemot, and the Torah specifies chayot. So you don't need the prat uklal uprat to teach you that it excludes the chaya. It's obviously excluding the chaya. So therefore, I disagree that this is an example of prat uklal uprat. So then, amar le, chaya bichlal behema. No, it is bichlal behema. Hakti bakar vitzon, bahavale pratu klal via uprat via tadan elakena prat. He says, no, it is true that chayaz bichlal behema. So, and then if you look in Rashi right there at the top, he says, dichtiv zot habema asher tuchlu ayal utzvi vichule. Okay, and it quotes all sorts of ayal and tzvi or behemot. And it quotes them, I'm sorry, they're chayot, and it quotes them under the title zot habehema asher tuchlu. These are the animals you can eat. So there he proves that often in the Torah, behema does include chaya. So obviously, it can go either way because sometimes we know that behema includes chaya and sometimes it clearly doesn't because there's certain unique halachot for behemot and chayot and they appear, you know, and we separate and distinguish. Anyway. Okay. Now they're going to go back and say, wait a minute. Minalan dehachihu. How do we know that chachamim really hold... 1 second. Right. How do we know the Chachamim really do darshan? As we said before, the Chachamim darshan is prat uklal uprat. Because we were trying to say that must be why they hold that it doesn't include the leaves and the shoots. Right? So how do we know the Chachamim really hold this prat uklal uprat? So now they say, because remember, until now, all the cases we saw prat uklal uprat were all emoraim. But now we want to find mekorot tanaim, where the Tanaim, the general Tanaitic opinion, which would match Rabbanan, hold prat uklal uprat. Okay, that's what we want to basically see. So here we have a braita, and this comes up by Maaser Sheni. Remember what happens with Maaser Sheni. What's Maaser Sheni? It's, right, you take Maaser Rishon, goes to the Levi, right? First you take your Truma for the Kohen, then you take your Maaser Rishon, 1/10, that goes to the Levi, then you take Maaser Sheni on years 1, 2, 4, and 5, okay, right on years 3 and 6, it's Maser Ani. It goes to the Ani. on years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you take your produce, you bring it, you flip it onto a coin, you take like a tenth of your produce, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, so assuming you don't live close enough to schlep all your stuff to Yerushalayim, you flip it onto a coin, you do pidyon, and then you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it, and you buy produce with it and eat it in Yerushalayim. So what does it say? V'natata keset b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. Babakaru batzon v'yayin v'ashechar v'chol asher t'shecha nafshecha v'achalt Hashem lefnei Hashem elokecha v'samachta ata uveitecha. Okay? So, you take the money, okay? That's a klal. B'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha, it says. Anything. Then it says, babakaru batzon v'yayin v'ashechar. That's a prat. U'v'chol asher t'shecha nafshecha Chazar v'kalal. Okay, this is going to be a klal upratu klal, okay, which we haven't learned yet, right? This is the opposite. We started off general, we got very specific, and then we got general again. It said, b'chol asher t'shecha nafshecha. So it's like anything. So what do they learn here? Iya tadan ela ke'en haprat. So in this case, what do we say? Since it has a klal, and then a prat, and then a klal, you can only do the klal according to the details of the prat. Maha prat mefarash pri mi pri vigidule karka. Af kol pri mi pri vigidule karka. Just like the prat is a pri that comes from a pri, okay, and it's something that grows from the ground. Therefore, what we're talking about here is kol pri mi pri vigidule karka. Okay, animals, by the way, are often considered gidule karka. Here you see they are. Okay. Michti klal upratu klal. Ke'em prata daininan, klala batra mayahane. Right? In other words, if you have a klal and then a prat and then a klal, and we're going to say, I assume you guys were thinking about this, and you're going to say, but we're only judging it like the prat, so then what do you need the klal to come for? In other words, if you had a klal and then you had a prat, so you can assume the prat comes to exclude things from the klal, right? But if you're going to have the klal at the end, what's that coming for? Ahane lo'osufe kol didamela. If you just had klal uprat, what might you have thought? That it's only the pratim that are specifically listed in that list. Comes the klal to say, no, we are now going to include anything that's similar to those pratim. Okay? So we're going to take the pratim as a category, and we're going to say, this means something in particular, and anything that's like that is going to be included, and that's where the klal comes. If you didn't have the klal, you might have thought that it's only the particular pratim that were listed. Bitu pratu klalu prat, ke'en haprat deininan, prata batrai mayahane. And likewise, when you have this pratu klalu prat, right, and then you say it's all ke'en haprat, so why do you have the second prat coming? Mayahane, what does it help you with? So now what do they say? E lav parta batrai, if you didn't have the last prat, hava amina nasa klal mosifa la prat, right? If you just had prat uklal, right, which we generally say, if you have a prat uklal, what happens? The klal comes to be mosif, right? We give an example, and then we say, oh, but yet it applies totally across the board, right? Everything's included. Umichte, okay, so now we're going to say, and therefore, the prat comes to basically say, no, it's not everything, it's just things that are like the prat. So now what's going to be your obvious question? What's the difference between a klal uprat uklal and a prat uklal uprat? If both are basically, so far, we've seen they're doing the same thing. Okay, so now, in the words of the Gemara, they're no longer going to call them klal uprat uklal and prat uklal uprat, okay, to confuse you. They're going to call them train klale uprata and train prate uklala. What's train? Train is two. Okay, so train klale uprata is two klals and a prat. Right, makes it easier to say anyway, right? I've been struggling. I keep my mouth klal uprat klal uprat klal uprat. Okay, so if umichti train klale uparte, right? A klal prat klal vitrain prate uklale, right? The prat klal prat. So ke'ein prata daininam, both of them are ke'ein haprat. So my ika beni ubeni. What's going to be the difference between the two? Ika di ilu tartin klali parta, if you have two klals and a prat, I ika parte di damela afilu b'chad sad marbina. If you have something that's similar to it, even in one way, then we add it in. In other words, obviously what they're going to say is, the klal uprat uklal, since there's two klals, is going to obviously be more inclusive. So it's going to include anything that's similar to it, even in one way. And, trei prate uklala, iika parte didami mishne tzedim marbinan. It has to be similar in two ways and not just in one way. Okay, and if it's only similar in one way, then we're not going to include it. Michti prat uklal, nase klal mosif ala prat. If you're going to say that a prat uklal, what happens? Right? The klal is mosif ala prat, v'idrabe kol mile, right? And it includes everything. Umi'et viriba, nami riba hakol. Right, and the mi'ed v'riba also includes everything. V'drabi kol mili, so ma'ika bein mi'ed v'riba l'prat uklal. I hope they're basically asking all your questions, right? Because you're trying to figure out what's the difference between all these things: a riboy and a mi'ud, and a klal and a prat, right? A prat and a klal. If they're all in the end going to include, so then include everything, then what's the difference? So ika, here we're going to have a really interesting answer because it's going to disagree with something we said earlier. So if you catch it. Ika de ilu pratu klal marbinan afilu alin velulavim. Umi eit viriba lulavim in alin lo. They're going to basically say that what? In other words, a pratu klal is more inclusive than a mi'ut viriba. Okay? They're going to say if you have, you start off specific. Wait, right. One second. Oh, they're both the same. It's just a matter of semantics, what you call them. A mi'ut and a riba? Right, that's a good question. What's really, how do you know when something's a, right, I don't know the answer to that. How would you know if something's a pratu klal or a mi'ut viriba? But what they're going to say is, if you would call it a pratu klal, then you would include even the alim and the lulavim. And if you call it a mi'ut viriboy, you would say it's adding the lulavim, but it's not adding the alim. Okay? Now, this obviously begs a big question. First, the first question is, what's the difference between a pratu klal and a mi'et viriba, and how do you know when to use which one? That's number one question. In other words, if they're both something specific and something general, what's exactly going to be the difference? And the second question is, what are they saying with the mi'et viriba? What's the conclusion here? Conclusion is the mi'et viriba would include the lulavim, but not the alim. Okay, go back to your chart. Rabbi Elazar said, "Afilu alim v'lulavim in hidarshin the ribuy v'miut." So it disagrees, right? The last line of the sugya disagrees with the first line of the sugya, basically. Okay, it's a big question what you do with that. Okay, some people say that the alim that they're talking about here aren't the alim that we mean. That the alim are like the harder alim that are more, you know, less edible,
soft leaves and hard ones.
Right. Right, it's pushing it. It's pushing it. There's definitely a problem here in the sugya. There's a difficulty with the conclusion here. There are different nuskaot of the sugya. I didn't look them up as to what they are, but it's definitely possible that it's flipped in some of the nuskaot. That it's the mi'ut viriba, which is marbina nafilu alim velulavim, and the pratu klal is right. That would make more sense. I mean, it said that I saw a note that says there's different nuskaot, but I don't know the answer to that. And the other question about the what's the difference between a? How do you know when there's a pratu klal and a mi'ut viriba? Right. I think this is just like a. I think it's a, right. There's just two different approaches as to whether you darshin. Okay, I'll tell you. Look, there's. Okay, I'm going to say this, but then with one caveat. Okay, there's different people took different approaches. Do we darshin pratu klal or do we darshin mi'ut viriba? Which way do we go? Do we call it this or do we call it that? It's a bit of a semantic question. So those who darshan mi'ut viriba, you know, would either include more or less depending on the nusach, right? And those who darshan klal uprat, that's what they're basically saying. That there's a bit of a difference as to, you know, kamut or echut, maybe you would say, I don't know how you would, right, quality, how much were, I guess it's really quantity. The problem with that is that didn't we, the sugya, in the middle of the sugya, they said that Rabbi Elazar, who darshins the mi'ut viriba, where does he learn out pratu klal uprat from? So the sugya seemed to indicate that there aren't these two schools of thoughts, and those people only darshan mi'ut viriboy and mi'ut, and those riboy v'mi'ut, and those darshan klal uprat. It seemed to say even the guy who darshins riboy and mi'ut also darshins pratu klal uprat. So you see, there's like we've seen in many sugyas, there's a lot of open questions at the end of the sugya. It's not 100% clear, particularly the fact that the last line so explicitly goes against something we said earlier. It begs the question. So just some open questions to have to ponder over Shabbat, since you have an extra day. Okay, we'll pick up on Sunday morning at the two dots at the bottom. I'd like to learn earlier on Sunday morning. It'll be a very busy day. So let's try to learn. Can we do 7:45? I know it's hard for you, but... Okay, we'll do 7:45, because otherwise I won't be able to.
Is there any reading?